Got my service sheet here, and look what I found in my service sheet. To be fair, I put it there before the service.
That's mine.
Francis, you shouldn't lie in church. Francis just said, that's mine. It's got the Queen's head on it. And I think it's Jane Austen, isn't it, on the back? New £10 note. It's a lovely, new, shiny £10 note. Would anyone like this as a gift? Chiwendu, your hand... Your wife's hand went up first, Nandi. It's good, isn't it? Seek and you will find. Ask and you will be given. Sometimes even £10 in church. It's yours. Enjoy it. Don't spend it all at once, Chiwendu. Today's New Testament reading that Jenny just read to us is about outrageous generosity. I wouldn't classify giving £10 away as outrageous generosity, but this reading is about outrageous generosity. And outrageous generosity will always have its critics. When American pastor Francis Chan returned from his first ever trip to Africa, he was so impacted by it that he decided to sell his large house and to move into a much smaller one. The feedback he got was along the lines of, it's not fair to your children, or you are just doing it for show. He doesn't remember a single person at the time supporting his decision. Mary didn't do what she did for show, but she certainly had her critics. But what Mary did in our reading from John 12 paints a beautiful picture, a challenging picture of the church as God intended it. I would like to speak about four aspects of that picture today: power, priority, courage, and love. And I'm going to test you on these four words at the end. No, I won't. Did you take that seriously? Power, it would be nice if we remember them. Power, priority, courage, and love. Let's look back at our reading. You may want to keep it open on the inside pages of your news sheet, because we're going to go along these verses. John 12, verses 1 and 2. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him, Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Firstly, power. The church is the community of those who have experienced the resurrection power of Jesus. In the previous chapter, John 11, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, and he challenges the faith of Mary and Martha before he raises their brother. Martha does not doubt that we will be raised to new life at the end of time. But that's small comfort for her. She's grieving the death of her brother who has died far too early. And in reply, Jesus says to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Jesus is not pie in the sky when we die. Do you notice how in his response there is continuity between this life and eternal life? Eternal life starts now as we follow Jesus. The experience of his ability to transform our lives, to transform any situation, starts now. When we meet the risen Christ in our lives, as St. Paul met him on the Damascus Road, we are changed, and as a result, we become world changers ourselves. Until then, in the words of C.S. Lewis, we are in danger of fooling around with, as he said, drink and sex and ambition. Fill in your own favorite pastimes in the bracket. When infinite joy is offered us. Mary had encountered Jesus' resurrection power, and it results in outrageous generosity. St. Paul writes in today's reading, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. We need to see his resurrection power in our time if the church is going to make a dent in the spiritual apathy and confusion of our nation and our times. So firstly, power. Secondly, priority. Let's carry on in our reading. John 12, verse 3. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The church is the community of those who place their relationship with Jesus above all else. Above all other relationships, worldly goods, achievements, or activities. Many things could have been done without perfume, of course. Apparently, so the experts tell us, it was worth about an annual salary in today's money, a year's wages. You know, Mary could have led a comfortable life by selling it, put it in her pension pot. Or she could have made a name for herself by using it for charitable works. But the starting point for her generosity is her relationship with Jesus. Her life had been transformed by Jesus. And now she showed her devotion to her Lord, who was going to be buried in only a few days' time. She understood what his disciples found so hard to grasp, that Jesus was on his way to arrest, suffering, torture, death. And on that Good Friday evening, which we're going to mark again in a few days' time, there wouldn't even be time to prepare Jesus' body properly for burial because the Sabbath day was looming. So they could not even treat his body with precious ointments properly. They came back to do that on Easter Sunday, remember? But Mary was already doing that now. All for Jesus. Thou hast loved us. All for Jesus, thou hast died. All for Jesus, thou art with us. All for Jesus, glorified. What does that look like in our own lives, giving Jesus priority? Well, I think it means giving him the first fruits of everything, the first fruits of our days, by beginning our day, by committing this day to him and joyfully living as his children. It means that we give him the first fruits of our thanksgiving when we sit down for a meal by saying grace together. The first fruits of our week by prioritizing Sunday worship before any of the other things we could do on a Sunday morning. It means that we give him the first fruit of our income before we spend it on anything else. It means that we see Jesus in the least of these and serve them in Jesus' name. That we never make an important decision without bringing it before him first. Those are some of the things that I can think of. You probably can think of other ones as well. The important thing is to give him priority in our lives. Our life will be distinctive because Jesus is at the heart of it. Power, priority, thirdly, courage. Verse 4, carrying on in our reading. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" The church is the community of those who show courage even in the face of opposition. When we put Jesus at the center of our lives, we will experience criticism and opposition. In a time when religion is tolerated as a private, individual leisure activity, those who proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord will experience opposition. In St. Paul's words, we are ready to become fools for the sake of Christ. And of course, we know that the opposition we experience is nothing compared to the persecution experienced by our brothers and sisters around the world, in other parts of the world. In the 20th century, more Christians were persecuted for their faith than in all previous centuries combined. Now, that is a sobering statistic. Shouldn't that make us willing to face some criticism where we are, to stand up for Jesus? Of course, ultimately, we show courage because Jesus gave all for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Mary anoints Jesus' feet. I don't think it's a coincidence that in the next chapter, John 13, it is Jesus who washes the feet of his disciples. Power, priority, courage. I'm forgetting my own four words. Power, priority, courage, and lastly, love. Carrying on, John 12, verse 6. Judas said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Judas's criticism sounds wonderfully noble, doesn't it? Give it to the poor. But we learn that he was motivated by greed. What motivates us when we criticize a Christian brother or a sister? Maybe it's not greed. Maybe it's the desire for power, position, influence, to be right, or simply trying to get our own back because someone has deeply hurt us. It takes outrageous generosity of love to break that cycle. And like all of us, I am learning. I am learning, and I've got a long way to go. Sometimes we have to tell ourselves, this person may not seem very lovable at this time, but I'm going to love them anyway. That's what stood out when people observed the early Christians and said, see how they love one another. I was really encouraged recently when someone told me that they thought they knew true friendship, but becoming a member of the church, he realized that most people were friends to him because they were hoping to get something out of it. And here he experienced unconditional friendship. When we criticize one another, and usually behind the other person's back, we do serious damage to the body of Christ. After Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, a humiliating job for a slave, he said to them, I give you a new commandment, love one another. And so we come back to where we started. Outrageous generosity. Our extravagant generosity towards Jesus is a prophetic act, an act that speaks about God, and the world will take note. Giving without public acclaim, serving with our time when so much leisure and entertainment could be had, serving with our talents without the human glory of medals and positions. A generous church speaks of a generous God. Generosity in our praying, in our welcome, in our sharing. At its heart, a generous church says to the world, we are not defined by what other people think of us, by our possessions, by our status, or by our success. We find our identity and our security in God's love and purposes for us and for his world. That is revolutionary. Here is how Francis Chan responded to his critics when he sold his house. "My response to the cynics in the context of eternity was, am I the crazy one for selling my house? Or are you for not giving more, serving more, being with your Creator more?" Resurrection power, making Jesus our priority. Courage in the face of opposition. Mutual love. Outrageous generosity. Infinite joy. May it be so. Amen.